I hope you have some questions afterward, but let me just say a few more things before starting the Word of God. And the first thing is that in the pictures here, I show you guys the beautiful parts of Cuiabá, okay? It's not all like that. In truth, Cuiabá has 145 neighborhoods, ranging from 800 people to 20,000 people in one area. And the majority of those people do not own a car. They depend on public transportation from place to place. Some of them are beautiful neighborhoods that not even Google Street can get into there because they're gated community. Some of them, they don't have any infrastructure, and most of the houses are not finished. And so it's the diversity of people. But truth is, our focus starts church in those neighborhoods. Because there are peoples in those neighborhoods that if they don't have a good preaching, Bible preaching church, that they're never going to hear the gospel. Because that's where they stay. They take the bus to go to work, to go to school, to go do other things, but they do not take the bus to go to a church if they don't have the money to do so. So it's different from here that you jump in your car and go wherever you need to go. It's a different reality there. And we've been looking some of the neighborhoods. There's a new development near our house, like 15 minutes from where we live. Yes, we have been living in Brazil for 13 years. We have a house there, okay? And somebody's taking care for that house from us there. And we're looking at a neighborhood that has just in a little block that I count has 1,000 homes that we can reach. I don't know how many people live in each house, but there's a lot of homes right there. And there's several neighborhoods like that. So we're just praying the Lord open our eyes as we go back to find the right neighborhood to start, one neighborhood to start, because there's so many to choose from. Another thing I'd like to clarify is our sending church is our church in Brazil that we've been working for 13 years that we're still a member. Our home church in the West is Woodcrest Baptist Church in Fridley, Minnesota, with Pastor Perma. Pastor Perma has been a dear friend and pastor with us for a long time. They're the home church also for the Rails. And also, we consider them our home church in the U.S., and has been blessed to have them in our lives for a long time. Pastor Prum was there in Brazil when Bella was born, and Bella kind of disrupted her visit, you know, I want to be born, you know, that kind of thing. But so it was kind of interesting visit when they went there in 2009. So, but if you have any other questions, feel free to ask us about, you know, I love talking about what God has put in our hearts to do. So, all right. So let's open our Bibles to a very well-known passage, Book of Acts, chapter 13. I'm sure have heard many messages on that passage, but I pray that Lord give us a good time now in His Word. Remember that, you know, some basic things that sometimes we need to be reminded of as we keep on going our Christian walk. So Acts chapter 13, we're going to start with verses just 1, 2, and 3 only. Which says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manning, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful to be in your presence, to be able to now share your word. And just pray, Lord, that the fact that our bodies get tired, the fact that there might be some language barriers that cannot be in a way of your working in our heart. Just pray that you open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, receive your word, and that you can use him, Lord, to deliver it. In your name we pray. Amen. I like to say that my job, your only job, is to keep you awake. And the Holy Ghost is going to do the rest. Okay? So I hope I'm able to help you stay awake as we listen to the Word of God. I do understand that after a day of work, some of us get tired. I am like that, okay? So And I actually had to have a little nap this afternoon, unintended, but I ended up having because I needed it. So I'm thankful for that. But one thing I want to get out of this passage that's very, very common is often we missionaries come and preach on that message and to tell you that it's the local church function or job or call to send missionaries. But I don't want to preach on that today. I actually want to get three key words here in this little passage to illustrate a few truths that happen in every Christian life that we need to be aware of because at the end, we're all on a mission trail. And that's the title of the message. We're all on a mission trail. Missions is not something for missionaries. Actually, the word mission just means from Latin to send. Okay? And God has all over the Bible sending people to fulfill and accomplish his will. And I want us to understand that first thing before we get to this passage here because these people who started this church here, they were not missionaries. The church of Antioch was not started by missionaries sent there. We're going to see that in a little bit here. But God does not have like a crank machine that has, here's a missionary here, here's a missionary there. And he has people who follow his will. And some of them he calls for a special task. Just like he did with Abraham. You know, he called him out of his land into a promised land. And then he told that in him all families of the world will be blessed. That include us. Then out of him came the nation of Israel that got stuck in Egypt. And then God sent Moses to say to Pharaoh with a message of, let my people go. And after he did that, the people of Israel were sent out of Egypt into the promised land. And after they struggled with the concept of obeying God, don't we do that too? You know, this major struggle of the Christian life is to obey. Anyway, I'll get to that later. But but and what happened is that they struggled with obeying God, and God had to train working them to say, you know, if you don't have your heart right, cannot do what I'm not going to do what I promised to do. But our God is faithful, right? So he had his right time, and they conquered the land. And then after they conquered the land, they were to serve the Lord. And when they struggled with that, God sent the judge to help them out and to free them, to correct them. God changed then later on the prophets to correct, to rebuke, and also to announce the Messiah. Then God so loved the world that sent his only begotten Son. You know that, right? And God came himself in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem us all. And after he was risen from the dead, he called his disciples in one of the instances he met with them and said, you know, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And then he specified later on, send where? Everywhere. You know, if you look at the Great Commission, you have four instances where they commanded to go and they were sent to do God's will. And God's will is to spread the gospel to everybody in the whole world. And as we get here to this passage now, the church in Antioch was starting and had started from people who fled persecution. And they went about their business fleeing, but also spreading the gospel. That's kind of picture what we need to live like, right? Whatever go, is God with you? Whatever you go, are you commanded to obey the Great Commission? Yes. So these people preached here to everybody around, first to the Jews, then to the Greeks. And then this church was started and so great that the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas, which is one of the people we know here, to help this church to kind of help it grow, help it get grounded and rooted in Christ. So this is where we start in our first part of this mission trail here that I want to mention. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're all on the mission trails. The question I have for you today is, where are you in yours? Your mission trail kind of started when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? And then we start this trail by participating in a local church. Right? So that's the first part of your trail. It's this in the local church where you're going to grow, you're going to experience Christ, and we're going to learn about his word. And some key words I see in this passage to help us understand this. And look at verse 1. They said that the church of Antioch, they had prophets, the ones that proclaimed the word of God. They had teachers. They have Barnabas and Saul. There are other people here that you don't have a lot of knowledge of what they did or what they didn't do, but they were there. And focus on number 2, they said they were ministering as they ministered to the Lord. They were there in that local church serving. And that's where we want to get at. When you come to church, you don't come to participate of a church. You don't come to a show. You don't come here just to sing because it's nice to sing. You don't come here just because the preacher preached a great message. You come here to serve the Lord. Amen? That's why you come to church. Yes, there are other things that are going to happen as we do that. But as I see we as a church at work for Christ, I just want to point out a few things here because these men are doing some of that. You know, they didn't become prophets by chance. They didn't become teachers by chance. Barnabas was a Levite. Is that a correct pronunciation? There was a I always mess that word up, by the way. You know, he was a Levite. And he already knew the word of God, and now he was ready to just, hey. And understand this. These people were serving for a while already. You know, if you look at Barnabas, one of the first appearances we see him doing, he was selling his land to give to the church of Jerusalem so they could minister alongside the apostle with his resources. So he gave his time, he gave his money, he gave his resources, and he participated. So he was truly a Christian obeying Great Commission, say, I want to go, I want to do, I want to participate. And he participated with everything he got, no excuse given. Sometimes I had a question, he was a Levite, he was not supposed to have land because the Levites were not giving land, but he had some land somehow, maybe in Jerusalem, the area, maybe in Cyprus, maybe in other place. I don't know. But what's important is, from whatever he had a giving heart. And a giving heart for resources and time, and then later on we're going to see God end up getting his life and say, I want to use your whole life now. The full potential. So the first thing I want to remember is this. As you participate in this first part of your trail, in your local church, it's here you're going to experience the joy of the fellowship and you're going to be encouraged to live a Christian life. Would you open your Bibles with me? Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. Very well-known verses, but I want to go there just for a minute. Acts 2, 46 and 47, which says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, talking about those people who are serving the Lord, living together like in the church, with one accord in the temple, and breaking the bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Doing what? Praising God. And because of that, they're having favor for all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's important for us to understand that if you don't know what you can do to serve in the joyful fellowship of believer, the first thing you need to do is display the joy of having Christ in your life. It's awesome when you get to a church and see people smiling. And see people, I'm not saying that you need to be, not saying that. But, it'd be very sad if you go to a church, and I have not been to a church like that yet. They go, hey, how are you doing? Oh, weather's bad. It's snowing again. I don't know what we're going to do this week because we plan to do it. It's snowing all week long. And then I go to the next person. Hey, how are you doing today? Yeah, my kid's in the hospital, and, I don't know what I'm going to do after all this snow that's going on here. And it's okay. We do have problems. But you need to remember that our joy should overcome even that because our joy is rooted in Christ. Amen? These people knew how to do that. It's not that they were rich. They are giving everything that they have. They want to serve the Lord, and they're displaying the joyful fellowship they had with each other. And people were attracted to see what was going on there. We were in a church in the beginning of our deputation that we sat on a table with a guy. And he said this to me. You know, I'm going to come back tonight to this church. I have been in this area for 1 year and been trying to find a church. I don't know how consistent he was. But he said, no, this is the first church that I came. The usher greeted us, and not one or two, and it was not a fake smile. And some families came talk to me. And after the service, as we have, it was before COVID, so everybody had potluck, right? Now, some people have, some people don't anyway. But and the family talked to them. The pastor talked to him, and we sat down at his table and started talking, get to know each other, you know. And he said, it's the first time that I feel welcome in a church. But here's the sad part. He said, I'm a Christian. I've been looking for a church to go to. I mean, I know as a Christian should not base our gathering together based on that. It's supposed to be based on our faith in relation to serve and obey Christ. But he was looking for something that he could plug in and feel connected. And he did at that church. So we need to remember that as we welcome people, let's show the joy that Christ has for us. It's okay to complain about that, but don't just do that, okay? Don't do that. Another thing we need to remember is that as you come to our local church, it's here where you're going to experience your growth and your spiritual growth and your spiritual connection with God by the preaching of the word and by the studying of the word with each other. You know, it's... We don't come here as a club. There are some places that I have been that felt like, yeah, you know, it's good to be here, but there's more than that. And I have been to some very small churches that people are so connected, and whoa, these people know what they are about. And it's important for us to remember here as we go back to the daily preaching that we need to be together. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another with to provoke unto love and unto good work, not forsaking our assembly of ourselves together as a manner as some, of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So it's important that as we come to church, we encourage each other to go and do things. You know, I truly thought today is going to be a better day for us to at least go some door knocking. I have not done a whole lot of door knocking in the United States. And you know why not? Because, I'm sorry, the church that I stayed, they didn't do door knocking back in 2000. And several churches that we go here, a few of them did door knocking. I don't know how to do door knocking in the United States. I had two good experiences. So I said, okay, at first kind of, oh, let's go. We're not tired enough. We can do this. And today, kind of, oh, 100% chance of rain. I don't think this is going to happen today. But at the same time, there's a plan for people to go and do things. And it's important that as we get together, we encourage each other unto good works. And what better work to do than go tell others about Jesus? You know? I keep telling this to people. A lot of people think this is not efficient, it doesn't help anymore, whatever they say. I'm just tell a little encouragement story. We have a mission director to Brazil and now for the whole South America. You know how he got saved? Somebody was getting tracks. He found his car, put that track in the windshield of his car. He took, read it. He was ready. He went to church, accepted Christ, and today he's a director for a whole South America with BIMI. And he's serving there in Brazil. You know, and he has started, I think, two churches there too, you know, before he oversees now all the missionaries there. But you don't know what the Lord is going to do. So as you get not in the mode of just listening to the word of God, we need to get in the mode of encouraging each other to listen and do as doers of the word of God. And it's important for us to remember that here. Another thing I want to just mention here is that, you know, It's here in the local church you're going to first start serving the Lord. It's important for us to remember that. I was trying to remember, I was preparing a message, a person that God called that was doing nothing, that had nothing, didn't want anything to do with the Lord, and he called to do something special. I mean, there's a few things in the hand, but those people are at seeking God. But here's where you start serving the Lord with the gifts that he gave you. You can clearly start playing the little orchestra. I need to confess, okay? We got here first day, and you guys start playing. I look like this to Sherry, and start, that's what I want in my church. You know, but because it's edifying. And it's a lot of work for the people who are doing this. So I want to encourage you, keep at it. You know, I'm not jealous. I'm grateful for have one more display. Hey, this is awesome to praise the Lord with this many people playing. And I like it. I know it's not about my liking, but it's very joyful to do that when we're doing together. And I know that people encourage each other to say, hey, we need to do better. We can do this better. And that's one way for you to start serving here. And you need to remember this. Not every one of you is going to be a musician. Not every one of you is going to be a preacher. Some of you cannot even preach one verse of the Bible. But each one of us have a gift. 1 Peter 4:10. Can you go there with me? 1 Peter 4:10. Just quickly. And we're going to start picking up the pace here too. 1 Peter 4:10. If I can move there. Says this. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. And if you're looking in 1 Corinthians 12:4, 6, and verse 27, says this, now there are the diversities of gift, but the same spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but the same God which worked all in all. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Every cell of the body of Christ is important. If you think you're not important, think about this. If there's not someone to clean this temple for a whole 6 months, truly, I would not feel welcome here. Because if you don't want even to clean the place where you worship, how serious are you about what you're doing? So if you don't think that's a ministry, it is. I don't care if you paid for that or not. It is important. Every part of ministering to the Lord is important. If you go back to the book of Levites and Numbers and so forth, you can start that each one of the tribes had some function as they were carrying the tabernacle. You know, some carried the wood, some carried the utensils, some carried the cloth and so forth. Everyone had a job to do. None were bigger than the other. But there are the prophets, and there is also Moses that was preaching, giving the law. You know, and it's important for us to remember that it doesn't matter what you do for the Lord as long as you are using the gifts that God gave you already. It might be a skill that he will develop and God wants to use it. It might be some new thing that God wants you to get at. It doesn't matter what it is. And one thing I know that God can always do is if you ask him for his direction, he's going to show what you should do. Imagine this. Pastor, imagine this. Get here on Sunday. And every member of this congregation gets to you and say, Pastor, tell me what to do. I really want to do something to the Lord. What can I do here? Is there something I need to fix in the roof? Is there something I can clean here? Do we need to kind of organize the church in a different way? Can I do some errands for the church to get something? What can I do? Would not that be awesome? I think pastor is going to be driving it nuts for a few weeks until he figure out, what do I do with these people? Everybody wants to do something now. You know, but it would be awesome to see that happening because we're part of the body of the Christ. And if you do what, use the gift that God gave you to do, it doesn't matter what it is. There was a church that, the people in the church, the ladies, the older ladies at the church, the one with the more experience, let's put it like that, okay? So they had more time in their hands. You know what they did? They started getting together to sew, to make quilts. That pronounced quilts for the missionaries. And you could go there and pick. You have 3, 4, 5, 6. And pastor one day announced, you know, I'm one of those pastors who, while I have the gifts, we're going to have it. So if we need more people to keep on this quilt business. But if you can't do that, it's fine. Because God used those people who had the gift to do while they're here with us. So if we're interested in that ministry, amen or otherwise, we're going to do something else. Because it's not about that object. It's about the heart to serve with the gifts that you have. Let's remind that. The second thing in this mission trail is more personal. So the first one is serving a local church. The second one is more personal. It's when you're personally seeking God's will for your life. We see that in some key words in this verse too. They say, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And verse 3, after some things have happened, says, as they fasted and prayed. Now, we don't have time to develop the whole fasting ceremonies or how they use it or anything like that. But let me just propose you this idea so you can understand. It has nothing to do about losing weight. You know, like somebody else said here, I can use some of that. But that's not about it. It is about you coming before the Lord, taking away all your distraction, humbling before the Lord, forgetting about food and anything else, and say, Lord, I want to take this time before you the whole morning, the whole day, to come before you and see what's your will for my life. Search my heart. See what needs to be corrected and fixed. Work in me in a way that you can use me to fulfill your will. They are humbling themselves, coming before the Lord to say, Lord, here I am. What should I do? We are to be fulfilling God's will in our lives. And how do you do that? We do that by a few things. But there are two words that we need to remember. It's very simple. And we sing about it. Trust and obey. There is no other way. How many times have you sang that song? Trust is faith in action. These men had experienced that. And the reason that they come can come before the Lord now and take all the way, not only the tradition of the Jewish of fasting, but come before the Lord humbling themselves to seek God's will for their life. It's because they had experienced faith, they had experienced trust, and had experienced God working in their lives. I'm not telling you to trust in your experience. I'm telling you to look to see what God will do as you trust Him and obey Him. Barnabas had already been sent here. He was teaching the people, and his work was so great. He went to Tarsus and got Paul. He came, and it was so great that they were teaching here for a whole time so the people could grow in Christ. And this just grew so much in a way that after they saw that there would be some issues that they need, they could help the church in Judea. They sent resources with Paul and Barnabas back. They went there. They gave the resource to the church in Jerusalem. Now they're back here in Antioch. And now they're sitting, praying, fasting before the Lord because they know God is real and God can do amazing things. Amen? When is the last time that you turn off Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, your cable TV, your internet, your cell phone, whatever it is that gets you distracted from life, to come before the Lord for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, for 20 minutes, for half an hour, for a whole hour? How about 3 hours? I don't want to put you to shame. Understand that. Don't think that myself as a missionary, don't struggle with that. I'll tell you the truth, with so much traveling around and trying to keep things going, keep family in sync and trying to get things going, it's easy to say, man, I barely prayed today. I read my Bible, but like those 15 minutes just because I had to read my Bible. There are days like that, even for us. And if you're not careful, don't get in the Word of God, that can help and become a pattern. And I pray that does not become a pattern in your life. It's important for us to remember this because as we seek the Lord, as we start looking for Him, we need to trust and obey Him. And we need to remember that all of us are to be fulfilling God's will, just like these men are seeking now, fasting, coming before the Lord with the church where they are to say, God, help us out here. What would you have us do? Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you, which is well-pleasing His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We need to personally put our trust in the Lord and His ways. My favorite verses in the Bible are Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know what? We struggle and mess it up in the first word. Trust. I like to say that trust is faith in action. Okay? Let me explain trust is because you need to put the trust in the right thing to be able to enjoy what that can bring into your life. When you came down today and sat down in these chairs, did you think about it? I'm 100% sure that you didn't. But if you did, raise your hand. I don't think you did. You know why? Because every time you come and sit in these chairs, you know that's going to hold your body. You're not going to make yourself a fool. And then the missionary is going to laugh at you, and then he's going to help. Yes, I'll laugh because some people just fall in a fun way, okay? And I can't help it. And then I feel bad about it, and then I go help, of course. Oh, I'm so sorry, you know. You know that's not going to happen. And you know why? Because you know these chairs that they're going to hold your body because I've been doing that over and over and over, and that has not happened. Imagine now that every time pastor come here, and you say, okay, I can sit down now, okay, and he falls. And that happened 3 or 4 times. A few things are going to happen. First, he's going to get tired of this chair and throw it away. Or every time he decides to keep it, he's going to come here. Okay, now I can sit. But you know, the way I'm saying this, because you know what trust in the Lord is? Sit and relax and obey Him. Is it easy? Uh-uh. Not easy for anybody. I had to struggle with my own personal life many times with my faith, asking God to increase, just like the apostle, increase our faith, Lord. But your faith is going to increase as you go through circumstance and you trust the Lord. Now, be careful for a few things the way you pray. If you pray for patience, what do you think you're going to get? Trials. Okay? And some people say, then I'm not going to pray for patience. I'm going to pray for money. You know what's going to come in your way? Work. So we kind of tend to, I was praying that in 2015, that's come part of my testimony, God started working our hearts because I was working as a software engineer at that point, and responsibility started going up and up, and I was not having much time for ministry. I was spending 3 or 4 weeks out of the month traveling for my company, and I started praying. You know what I was praying for? God, we need more time for ministry. Because at that time, our ministry was pretty much weekends. I was gone all the week. Cher was handling the kids with homeschooling. So at the end of the day, she was done. You know how that goes. Those who are homeschooling, you know how it is. I was a teacher. I know how it is. You know, but so on the weekends we're doing ministry there, so I'm praying for more time for ministry. But in my mind, I'm thinking about another job, right? Well, God gave me another job. He told me to go full-time mission work and said, what? Lord, I'm 45, 44. I'm thinking about retirement, you know, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, whatever that is. And that I struggle with that. But at the same time, we need to remember what you put your trust on. We need to personally rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:14 and 2:21 says several things about that, but I just want to read verse 14 to 16. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in his mighty by his spirit in the inner man. You know how get God's will done in your life? Knee down and pray. Talk to God. Read his words. It's so simple, right? Read your Bible and pray every day. I mean, we sing, we say it, but do we do it? And that's the whole point I want us to understand, because here's the thing. If you don't have faith, you cannot believe in God, much less trust in God. If you can only trust God if you believe him and have faith on him. But there's a few things that are going to happen here as we start listening to this, because if you don't trust God, you won't be able to obey. If you're not going to be able to obey, you're not going to be able to surrender. And if you're not able to surrender, you're not going to be molded to be used by God. It's simple, but we try to complicate things with so many words. It's simple. The Bible says this, do. If you don't do it, you have a sin of unbelief. And I have that sin many times in my life. I'm pointing to you, right? Three fingers at me. Because we have this issue about trying to do our trust in our own way. I was pleased that God had given me a great job to support my family to do ministry in Brazil. Nobody needed to know what we were doing except the two missionaries, and that was great. Now God's put me in the front line and say, God, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But you know, we need to remember that when God calls, he's mighty to enable you to do so. And as we struggle with our trust in the Lord, and trust me, obedience. I'm going to obey no matter what, and let the Lord drive. It's so great for me to be now here in my age, my secret age, you know, 47 years old. Almost. Sherry's laughing. Yes, a month away. But look back and see all that the Lord has done. All that he has accomplished in my life. And now I can look back and say, wow. In 2002, when we knew we had to go back to Brazil, I was right in the middle of our computer and science program at Minnesota State University. I graduated from there, and I started praying, Lord, open the doors for us to go to Brazil in your time. That time came in 2006, which, when it was time, I went to my boss 6 months before we went to Brazil, and I told him, listen, hire someone for me to train because I'm going to Brazil in 6 months, and please don't fire me yet. You know, and they did. And I trained that person. And a few months came by before we went to Brazil. And he came to me and said, so what you're going to be doing in Brazil? I said, well, I'm going to be near family and church. He was not Christian. I don't need to explain to him. And it was kind of hard to explain if he can't understand it. So next time we talked, said, what are you going to do for a job there? I said, I don't know. I'll figure out when I get there. So he come to me and says, how about if we try 6 months for you to work from Brazil to us here in the U.S.? You can work remotely, give support to this guy you just trained, and I'll give you 2 interns for you to help out and give their tasks they need to do and make sure they're doing it. And said, awesome, thank you, Lord. So here, go to Brazil with work, right? Don't need to look for work for 6 months, which turned out to be 2.5 years, working from home to a company in the U.S. God is great. He knew. He knew what we needed for that time. And as we're serving the Lord, we're starting looking for time to serve, to train people and do things, and trying to look for jobs. He always opened up the doors, wide open, and closed right away, so we didn't need to struggle. There was one time in 2017, after playing for our work that would give more time, right, that had a job that, you know those dream jobs? 7 to 5. Monday to Friday. In Brazil, you have to work Saturday usually. And I always negotiate to never work Saturday. Okay? And no travel, better pay grade. And then the guy come to me and say, and you're going to run an department. It's a new one that we started. I said, mm-mm. And we almost gave in and said, you know, is this what God wants for us? Do we need to take this because we're afraid that nothing else better is going to come up here in Cuiabá? You know, it's something that we struggled for 2 weeks. And then I told Sherry, you know, are we doing this because of fear? Because fear is or should not take the job. And it was not easy, but it was truth. And we knew that was true. We're taking a job out of fear that something else is not going to provide. That means not trusting the Lord. And so we prayed harder. You know, and God now started molding us a little more. The third part of the mission trails is when God calls for you to do something. You see, you're already engaged in your local church. You're already engaged in your personal life like these men were. The whole time engaged. And now they're here praying, coming before the Lord. Man, I wish my mission call came like for these men. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit talking or one of the prophets prophesied. I don't know. But I like to imagine this. The Holy Spirit saying, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. Man, I would say, just go. God's talking to you. What you're doubting about, just come here. Let's pray and go. And I think that's more or less the spirit of us, the church of Antioch. And let's pray together and let's go. And then they sent them away. But see, before they sent them away, a lot of things are happening in their lives. They were engaged in their local church. They're engaged in their personal life with God. And God said, now you're ready to go. Come here. I have something special for you. You see, some of you have been called to be pastors. Some of you have been called to be workers, teachers, helpers. Some of you have been called to be musicians. Some of you have been called to go to the field. I don't know what your call is, but I know this. If God calls you, put in your heart to do something, and you will know, I assure you, you will know. Sherry and I knew as a couple we had to go to Brazil in 2006. Sherry and I knew as a couple in 2019 we had to surrender our life to the Lord and come to the mission field. How do you know? You're seeking God's will. He's going to show it. He's just going to show it. But when he show it, make sure you're not like Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. God tell him, go preach at Nineveh and say, don't want to. Don't like those people. They like fish. Whatever was his excuse. You know, we're not going to go into the whole story of Jonah here, but the whole point I want to convey to you is this. God has impressed in your heart to do something for him. Do it. Don't think that mission is something for missionaries. Mission is something that all of us ought to be doing. Some are going to do through givings. Some are going to go through going short or long-term missions. Some are going to go to our own local church and help this ministry grow in this place. After all, your community is part of the world, right? Going to all the world. Here is part of the world. Here it's your field. Missionaries that you support are not going to reach your neighbors. God put you here for that reason. And who is your neighbor? Anybody around you. Remember that here as we approach and we start seeking God's will. And if you're going to worry that God is not going, if you have needs, you don't have resources, you don't have time, you know what? If you put your prayers in God's hand, he will show you the way and he will show what he will have you do. And he will enable you to do so. 2018, my family, I have been out of the U.S. for 10 years now. We came for a monthly fun time. A month of fun time. Our vacation in Brazil, yes, we can rejoice in that. It's a whole month, okay? From day one, the first year, you get a whole month. As teacher, I rejoice in having 2 months. Now, after I stopped being a teacher in the public system, now I have 1 month. I'm rejoicing with a month because I live in the U.S. and I had 2 weeks. All right? So we came to U.S. here. God provided the resource for us to come and have fun. My wife was all saying, you know, we've been out of the U.S. for 10 years. We have to go as a family. I said, let's go. You know, so we put the money on, came. And as we travel from New York to Washington to Minnesota to visit family, driving the car, God started pounding my heart the same question that my co-workers used to ask me. So, Chico, what did you come to Brazil for? I had a green card. You live in the U.S. I had a good job. What are you doing here in Cuiabá? So the question pounding my heart the whole trip, what did they go back to Brazil for? And God started working my heart. I didn't know that, but at the same time, he was working in Sherry's heart. There are some people in our church that the teenagers accept Christ and have open doors to talk to the parents. We didn't have time. And one of these families, the father tried to fix the roof, fell down, broke his neck, and passed away. And Sherry's heart, she's screaming now if you just have more time. So in November 2018, I talked to her, you know, honey, I don't know what's going on in your heart, but God is pressing me on my heart to just let everything go and just go full time, start the church planting work. She was thinking the same thing if we just had more time. So we prayed. We prayed for 3 months. And at camp, Lord confirmed in both of our lives what he already had told us to do. And now we're sure that was not made of our guilt or not having time. It was not made of trying to do our own effort for something that God had for us to do. Now, there was one thing to do, obey. Obey was not hard. You know why it's not hard? Because if you're convicted of doing something for the Lord, he's just going to start paving the way. You know what happened next week? My boss called me and said, hey, Chico, you know that promotion that was coming for you to come to São Paulo and stop traveling a lot? It's here. And I had to tell him, well, no, thank you. I have decided to dedicate my life to be a missionary, so I cannot accept your offer. And he talked a little bit, paused a little bit, said, are you sure you don't want to reconsider? I said, no, I don't. And I know what's going to happen. Guys are going to fire me. It's okay. Because that's how the company worked. So a week later, I was let go. But here's the blessing that come with the things in God's time. Because I was let go, through that job, all the severe payment they had to pay because they had no reason to fire me. They're trying to promote me. Now they want to let me go. They had to pay all the work, sphere, compensation, whatever, which was enough for us to spend our first year of deputation in the United States without worrying about resource. God right there said, are you worried about money? You go. What you worry about? Did I tell you to go? And God has been so gracious, and by his grace, we'll be going back to Brazil already in November. Not saying that it was easy. I'm not saying that it is easy. I'm saying that if we exercise faith, trust in the Lord and obeying, he is going to show himself. And as we go back to Brazil, we're very encouraged for all that the Lord has done and during our deputation time. All the church he connected us with, all the church that are supporting us, all the people we have met and have encouraged us to keep on going. All the preaching we have heard say, keep on going, brother. So it's important that God called you to serve in whatever capacity. Obey. Our God's an amazing God. And he always paved the way for those to trust him. Might be a bumpy road, but he's going to guide you through. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful for your word, for your example left in the Bible. That we might, Lord, just grab a hold of your heart for mission, for the souls that need to hear the gospel. That we get a hold, Lord, of our lives and put that our life before you, so it can fulfill your will through our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.